Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce, and this is City Views. Get ready to drop, find cover, and hang on. Next month, thousands are expected to participate in the Great Utah Shakeout, the largest earthquake drill in Utah history. And joining me now to talk about the details of the shakeout, Ryan Longman. He is the manager of Be Ready Utah in the Division of Emergency Management with the state. And Ryan, thanks so much for your time today.
Thanks for having me.
Also with us, Heidi Preuss. She is a volunteer supervisor of the Northeast Division of CERT, which stands for Community Emergency Response Teams. And Heidi's also in studio. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you.
The Great Utah Shakeout is scheduled for 10:15 a.m. on April 17th. We'll have more details on that on our website, kcpw.org. But if you have questions or comments about the shakeout, give us a call. 801-355-TALK is the number, 801-355-8255. Ryan Longman, I suppose I should start with you. What's the backstory of the Great Utah Shakeout? How did this get started?
Sure. Well, first I want to say thank you for having us, and this is a great opportunity for us to spread the message more. We've been doing the best we can to let everybody know about this event. So the shakeout isn't something new. It's something new to Utah, but not to the nation. It actually started in California in about 2008. California has been doing this every year since then. Just last year, they had over 8 million people do a drop, cover, hold drill on the same day.
8 million people?
8 million.
Wow.
Registered, yes. And so we're excited to see kind of the same enthusiasm growing in Utah. We actually have, as of today, over 775,000 Utahns registered to all drop, cover, and hold on that day.
So you've got everyone getting excited about it. Is it a statewide kind of thing?
It is. This is a one-day special event for all people in the state, and it basically features our largest earthquake drill ever. It's organized to inspire Utahns to get ready for big earthquakes. We've all heard about the big one growing up here in Utah, or if you've moved here. And this is an opportunity for us all to take one day out of the year to think about earthquake preparedness. Are we ready in our homes? Are we ready in our businesses? Are our schools ready? Do our school children know what to do when the ground starts shaking? And so this is one day out of the year that we can all take to start practicing our plans. You know, when we talk emergency preparedness and with Be Ready Utah, we do this all the time. We always talk about the importance of practicing. You don't just write an emergency plan and then put it on a shelf. It's not going to do any good for you. And so, especially with earthquakes, you've got to practice. You know, what are we going to do when the earth starts shaking? If we're in our home, if we're in our business, if we're in our car. And so we want to get people to start thinking about those kind of things, and this is a great way to do that.
Why statewide? Why have a drill that's so widespread? Why not just have little local communities participate? Why is it so important to have a coordinated statewide effort?
Sure. Well, the scenario of the Great Utah Shakeout is what would happen, how would we respond if a 7.0 or greater earthquake happened here? So we're talking about a major earthquake. And a major earthquake, if it occurred on the Wasatch Front or anywhere along the Wasatch Fault, would affect everybody in the state, whether directly or indirectly. Somebody down in the south who may not feel the shaking is going to definitely feel the effect of the earthquake with evacuees and all kinds of different aspects that come from an event like this.
So it wouldn't be an isolated incident. It would affect all of us.
It would affect everybody, yes. And most people would feel it. I mean, even the fault line actually runs up into Idaho and all the way down into central Utah. So it's not just, you know, there's a common misperception that it's just the Wasatch Fault runs along the Wasatch Front here in Salt Lake City and then ends. But it actually goes for a long way, and a lot of people are going to feel it.
We're speaking with Ryan Longman. He is the manager of Be Ready Utah with the state. Also with us, Heidi Preuss, a volunteer supervisor for the Northeast Division of CERT, the Community Emergency Response Teams. And we're talking about the Great Utah Shakeout. 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255. Heidi, you've been talking about the shakeout for months. How'd you get involved?
I actually took a CERT class back in like 2003?
A while ago.
Yeah, a long time ago. Because it's just, you know, I'm kind of, I have a Boy Scout at heart here. So it was like, be prepared. And understand, you know, what are we facing? What are we looking at? How can I be personally prepared. And I've sort of stuck with it over the times. And it is one of the things that really struck me fairly recently. I mean, when you just ask the question, why the entire state? Look at what happened to the hurricane in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. You know, that affects the entire state.
The region.
The region, it does. And what do you do with all those people, and how do you manage all of that? The other thing that really struck me was the earthquake in Haiti. If you saw those pictures and you say, could Salt Lake look like those pictures? And then the thing about Haiti that also really stood out to me was that happened on January 19th. Hmm. And I woke up that day and saw those pictures, and I said, what would we be doing here in Salt Lake if that was us? Mm. Because we didn't have nice warm temperatures. We weren't in the Caribbean. It was cold. It was snowing. And so, you know, we didn't have 7 days to rescue people or 10 days to rescue people. People would be gone with hypothermia really quickly. So I think those things are really critical, and I think everybody can participate at least at some level.
Ryan Longman, when we talk about a mass emergency like a gigantic earthquake hitting the Wasatch Front, so much of the response depends on the quality and the stability of communication. How are we doing on the state level when it comes to being able to get the messages out and being able to talk to people in remote areas?
Sure. So that's one of the reasons we have these drills and these practices. The state, along with FEMA and 9 counties, are actually going to be involved in the exercise. We're actually going to play for 3 days. We're asking most people to just do the April 17th, but we're going to go April 17th through April 19th.
Oh, do I have the wrong day? Did I say the 15th?
No, you said April 17th.
April 17th.
Yes, April 17th. Okay. Is the first day, but we're going for 3 days, and we're actually going to open up our emergency operations center. The counties are going to open up their emergency operations centers. Some cities will do the same. And the emergency operations centers are how we communicate. Those are used mainly to communicate between the county, between the state, between the local communities to get information passed up, passed down, and make sure that resources get to the right place. So it's an opportunity for us. You ask, you know, how are we going to do with our communication? That's what we're practicing. Just like everybody else, we need to practice our plans. We haven't had a major earthquake here to practice, and so to actually go through. So we've got to practice and make sure that we're ready to go. You know, we've had a couple of events. The windstorm was a recent event that practiced, you know, how's the state communicating. We've had some floods that occurred last year. If you think back to the wildfire we had out in Bluffdale. So we've had some events, and we do have events every year here in Utah. But the big question is, how are we going to be able to communicate in a major earthquake when, you know, communication lines are going to be down, cell phones are not going to be able to be used? How are we communicating? And we're not only trying to get us ourselves ready for communication, but the public. How are you going to communicate with your children? How are you going to communicate with your family members if your cell phone isn't working? Have you thought about those things, and have you asked those questions? And so communication, when it comes to preparedness, is one of the key things you've got to make sure you're planned for.
Well, what kind of advice would you give somebody saying, you've got kids at school, how do you communicate without a cell phone?
A lot of people, I ask them, do you know your kid the phone number to your child's school? And a lot of people kind of pause and, you know, actually I don't know that number. That's something you probably should have memorized, and beyond that you probably should have a good understanding of what your school's emergency plans are for your children. If a major event occurs do you know if they're sending them home? Do you know if they're going to shelter them? What is their plan? That's very important to know as a parent, because it can give you a little bit of peace, an understanding of what's going on if a major event occurs. Something else that we tell people to make sure to do is to make sure that they have an out-of-state contact. In a major event, it's a lot easier to make a phone call out-of-state than it is in-state. So a lot of times you'll get a line out, but you can't get a line inside the state. So make sure that your whole family knows, hey, you know, we all need to call Aunt Beth in, you know, wherever, and make sure that she knows that we're all okay, so when somebody else in the family calls, we can all kind of communicate that way. Hmm. Another thing that we've seen, and we saw this actually in the D.C. quake just months ago, was that texts work very well.
Yeah.
Texts go through, and actually something interesting that I read was that a friend sent a friend in New York City a text about the quake in D.C., and that, you know, they felt the quake in New York, some of them did. And that friend actually got the text before they felt the shaking, which was quite interesting.
So
the text beat the text beat the quake.
Wow.
That is pretty wow. Heidi Proy says so much of this is on the ground. So much of a destruction is right, you know, as you're walking out your door. How are neighborhoods, how are streets, smaller communities kind of mobilizing to prepare for the big one?
Well, CERT is really from the bottom up. One of the things that we certainly encourage is if people want to be prepared, one of the things they can do is take a CERT class. They are offered through the city. You can go through the city website under residence and emergency preparedness, and you can see a schedule. Right now, for example, the next classes are scheduled in May. And we'd really love people to go through that. It's usually a 7-day class where it's 7 Tuesday nights or something like that. And
what do people learn there?
They learn a little bit of everything. It's you know, first, obviously, take care of your family, take care of your immediate house, then take care of your neighbors, and then meet somewhere. And again, every group determines their own. Like, if you have 5 people in your neighborhood that have taken CERT, they can get together and create a CERT team. And they will designate, let's say, we will meet at this corner when there's an earthquake, however many of us can, and then we will survey our neighborhood, you know, and then from there, if our neighborhood's okay or our street is okay, then we'll go to the next location where we know a larger group is meeting, and we can communicate and coordinate our information with them. And what we hope at every level, again, if there are no cell phones, we are talking about people running to communicate information. And we're also working with amateur radio.
Hmm.
So that is sort of that communication a network so that we can communicate with the city coordinator and let them know, you know, this is our neighborhood, this is our street, we're doing okay. We have, let's say, put a team together to go house to house, and we have found that all of our neighbors are okay. You know, and that's kind of where we're trying to go with that. So it's really a ground-up neighbor-to-neighbor kind of thing. And different areas in the city have different groups that are more organized than others. Mm. But it's got to be ground up. You know, it's not like somebody comes in and says, I designate you to go do something. It's the neighborhood rises up and says, this is something we care about.
Ryan Longman, in the time that we have left, what do you do in an earthquake situation? Mm-hmm. You get under something sturdy? Is that still the best advice? You drop down to the ground, get low, and get under something get under a cover of some sort?
Absolutely. Yeah, we're still promoting very much the safest reaction during an earthquake is the drop, cover, and hold method. I know there are a couple of other methods out there that are kind of getting leaked and people talk about them. But in earthquakes in the United States especially, the most injuries that we see come from flying debris in the building, not walls collapsing, nothing like that, but actually debris in the room.
So the glass, the windows coming
right,
out.
Right, whether it's the glass, the windows, or your hanging ceiling.
Or bookcases.
Or things in your – I mean, I think about my office right now and the things that are in my office that could fly off the shelves and mm-hmm. hit me. And that's actually where we see most of the injuries come. And so that's why we promote so heavily drop, cover, hold on. Drop down, cover your head. Get underneath something if you can, whether it's a desk or a table. If you cannot, do the best to cover your head and then hold on. If you're under a table, you actually need to hold on to that table because we've seen in some earthquakes, you know, furniture will actually move across the room. So you don't want to be holding on and then have no cover because it's slid away from you.
And hold on for how long?
Well, for 60 seconds is what we're asking people to do for the shakeout. And we actually expect that we could feel shaking for as much as 60 seconds in a 7.0 earthquake here. I mean, imagine how long that would feel if you're lying on the floor, covering yourself and sitting there for 60 seconds. So that's about, you know, what we're asking people to do for the shakeout.
Ryan Longman, he is manager of Be Ready Utah. Heidi Preuss, a volunteer supervisor for the Northeast Division of CERT here in Salt Lake City. Thanks to both of you for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
City Views is a production of KCPW News. Thanks to Tamara Kemsley and Katie Sheen Abbott and to Jesse Ellis. Also, more information on the Great Utah Shakeout on our website, kcpw.org. I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce.